The following show is closed caption for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
News, talk, sports. This is always frustrating to me. There is a mantra in radio to which I subscribe. Life is show prep. That some of the best talk radio topics, and that includes conservative talk radio, which is synonymous. There's not a lot other than sports talk and conservative talk. There really isn't a lot of other type of talk radio, is there? Not really. You got the NPR type variety. You've got a few liberals here and there who try. But I guess talk radio, if you're not talking about sports talk radio, has become pretty synonymous with conservative talk radio. Although, this show is not, I say this, it's not a political conservative talk show. It's a talk show about everything from a conservative worldview. I have a Life is Show Prep topic that I'm dying to talk about today, but I'm not prepared to. It happened over the weekend, and I need to make a couple of phone calls, or at least one phone call. But this is a very interesting topic. I am just not, or it should make for a very interesting topic. I am just not prepared to talk about it. But it is something that happened in my life, and I think it would make a really good phone topic. And I'm just so tempted to shoot from the hip here and do it. But then I don't think it would be a very good topic. So I'm going to try to make some calls later today, and hopefully we'll do that tomorrow. Tomorrow, of course, is primary election day. I'm going to be talking about that a lot in the next hour, but I'm going to have something on that in just a bit. It looks like I actually shamed the local paper into doing something. They did it badly, but I did shame them into doing it. We'll get to that in just a moment. Do you have anything for us today, Jason? You do. We'll get to that before 9 o'clock as well. You doing one of those every day or what? You're trying. Well, that's going to... Every day, huh? I don't know. That's a lot. If you don't know what we're talking about, stick around. If you do know what we're talking about, stick around. Jason will have another something he's been doing here. And we'll get to that before 9. All right. I want to start here. I was aware of this. So I didn't get around to it. That is a proposal by a Green Bay alderman for a completely meaningless advisory referendum asking Green Bay voters whether Wisconsin should raise the minimum wage from its current $7.25 an hour to $10.10 an hour. Meaningless in terms of it won't do anything. And Green Bay can't set its own minimum wage. And that's not really what the advice is, my understanding. The advisory question would ask anyway. What it asks is, should the minimum wage be $10.10 an hour? Given the fact this has no real impact, why is Alderman Randy Scannell proposing this? It's already gone before the City Council Finance Committee, where it deadlocked 2-2, so it goes to the full council without a recommendation. All sorts of points of view, according to the local paper at that meeting. Some felt a countywide referendum made more sense. Alderman Tom Sladek voted against it, saying he opposes government interference in the free marketplace, and wisely so. Tom also voiced suspicion that proponents of the referendum are trying to use it to draw voters in November to influence other races. Well, I think there's another ulterior motive here. I don't know how much a citywide referendum asking voters' opinion on minimum wage, I don't know how much of a vote driver really that would be, but it might. Here's why Scannell is doing this. Most public opinion polls show that a majority of Americans support 10-10. That doesn't mean that they're not wrong. They are. The reality is a majority, and I'm not sure how big a majority, but a majority of Americans are misguided on minimum wage. It sounds really good to them. Well, yeah, hell, why not? And the biggest reason a majority of Americans support it is even if they make more than minimum wage, they figure you raise the floor and it's going to benefit me. This is the short-sighted, misguided opinion that many Americans hold. Sure, I'll tell business what to do, because in the end, it's going to help me out. If I'm making, suppose someone's making, and I'm picking this out of thin air, $18 an hour, and they believe minimum wage is going to go from 7.25 to 10-10, okay? They do that. Well, that's got to mean I'm going to go to even higher. Okay, so I'll probably get to $20-$21 bucks an hour. That's what a lot of people are seeing. There's something in this for me. Now, others just feel, well, yeah, people should make more than 7.25 an hour. It's almost all emotionally or self-interest driven, and they're not looking at the economic realities of what 10-10 would do. So I believe Scannell sees this and realizes, well, we would get 60 to 70%, and I think you would, especially in the city of Green Bay. I think you probably would see that. I'm not a big fan of any of the, I can be consistent on this. I'm not a big fan of just taking the temperature using an advisory referendum unless, and even then I'm iffy about it, unless you're in a situation, well, for example, the Walmart store. There was a recommendation, or there was a proposal to have voters vote on it. I said this is a tough decision aldermen should make. I did not support a referendum on that. More on the Walmart store in just a minute. I did not support a referendum. I thought it was a tough decision that aldermen should make. I didn't fear one. I had no idea how that would have turned out. I really don't. I suspect it would have been very close, but I don't know. While I didn't support that, at least that was directly related to something council was contemplating. This is just, you could do that all the time. Let's have a referendum about what Green Bay residents think about this or that or this. And I don't agree with that. So I don't agree with this. And Tom Sladek might be right that it's an effort to draw liberal voters out in November. He may be right about that. I actually think the bigger motive is to be able to take those results and possibly inspire similar referenda in other cities. That's what I think the effort is here. Let's say 10-10 wins by a 70% margin in Green Bay. Don't know that it would. I have no idea. Well, then supporters of 10-10 or higher, I still think 15 is their real goal, 10-10 or higher, well, look at that over there. Let's do it in Appleton, Sheboygan, Wausau, and on and on and on and on and on. And then you have this movement. See, see? Everybody wants it. And I think that's the end game, is to put pressure on actually making it happen. That would be my belief. I tried to shame the local paper into doing a story on the fact that two of four candidates for Brown County Clerk of Courts signed the recall. They did one on Sunday, buried on page 5. They did it very badly, and I will explain that for a couple of reasons. Apparently, they had editing issues. They point out that here's the headline. Clerk of Courts hopefuls battle over Walker recall petition. Two candidates signed document in 2011. Should that affect the race, affect clerk's race now? Now, here's why I think Doug Schneider's story is something I shamed them into. I went and looked. Do you know when I first reported, Jason, that Donna Mason and Julie Hornberg signed the recall? Back more or less on June 1st. June 1st. 2 months ago. And now, well, just after June 1st. And now you have the paper finally doing a story. But here's what's interesting. I've read this twice. I have had my wife read it. They mention Mason signed the recall. They don't point out which of the other two candidates did. Tom Smith or Julie Hornberg. It's Julie Hornberg. Signed the gubernatorial recall. Mason signed against both Coles and Walker. So they never mentioned Hornberg's first name. They referred to her late in the story as if they had referred to her earlier, which makes me believe that it was an editing error. But here's where it gets really interesting. They do what a lot of media outlets, including our newsroom right down the hall here, do. They went to Charlie Jacobs, political science professor at St. Norbert, associate professor of poli sci at St. Norbert. He doesn't think that signing the recall is going to have much impact on this race. I'm trying to find exactly where that quote is now. Let's see. My sense, he said, is the petition issue is not going to make a huge difference when voters select a candidate. Do you think the Green Bay Press Gazette should have pointed out that Charlie Jacobs signed the recall against Rob Coles? I think they probably should have. They didn't. Now, here's where I disagree with him. I don't know. Now, he might be right. I honestly don't know. I just don't know. I maybe it will, maybe it won't. Here's why I believe it will. Because in a clerk of courts race, you don't have a lot else to judge a person by. You just don't. Most people don't even know what the office does. They don't know a lot about the candidates. Donna Mason is touting the fact she's been in that office as an employee for 35 years. She's doing that in advertising and elsewhere, and they might hear her. But I have been reporting since early June that two people touting themselves as Republicans signed recalls against Republicans. Given the fact you don't know much about what an office does, I think it's relevant. I really do. And I think it could have an impact because they have to judge a Republican candidate on something. But I find it interesting that a guy that signed a recall against Rob Coles is quoted as saying, well, I don't think that's a big deal at all. I really don't. Shocking that he would think that. What else is he basing his opinion on? All right, more on the primary a little later in the show. Jason has been hard at work these days reminding you, keeping count of something that did not happen on July 16th. Walmart did not get approval for a downtown Green Bay store, so we've been doing this.
It's time for the Big Empty Update, day 26. Time to play Why Is Nothing Better Than Walmart? What to do with the Marson Green property? Mayor Schmidt idea number 108. Green Bay's one and only jousting park. Yes, even you can live out your dream of hitting someone with a big stick from a horse. And you won't get in trouble. Best of three only, please.
That was another edition of Why Is Nothing Better Than Walmart? Ask the mayor.
Day 26 of the Big Empty at the Larson Green property, where there could have been a Walmart. You know what you got to be careful with when you do these, Jason? He's going to take one of these seriously. He's going to, a jousting park, son of a, I didn't think of that one. If this, as long as people pay for it, as long as taxpayers pay for it, Jim will put anything there. I could, see, you're laughing over there. The next thing you know, it's going to be the Green Bay Downtown Renaissance Fair. I can picture him doing it. Of course, I like, have you ever been to the Renaissance Fairs? They're awesome. Been to the one, I've been to the one actually, Bristol, Kenosha area. It's great. The Falconer or the Falcon Lance. Now, that would be cool in downtown Green Bay. Well, we will see. Jim claims that there is some developer interest. By the way, I'm digging into finding out exactly what all... I've got a little bit of a source there. I am digging into that. Coming up after 9. There, just Friday had a fascinating story that you may have missed. It was one of those things that kind of slipped in on Friday. I want to talk about it. And why the global warming hoax might make buildings more expensive in the very near future. Tip of the iceberg. Ton of stuff to get to. It's 8:56.
Are you looking for a conservative who will fight the liberals in Madison?